Blog Talk Radio.
Tuesday Night Teachings, your host, Lester Carver. Tonight, we're going to be discussing finding the will of God through prayer. But before we get started, I'd like to open the word of prayer and song of praise. Heavenly Father, I thank you, God. I thank you. I lift you up, God. You're greatly to be praised. There's no other like you in heaven or earth or under the earth. God, Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, that you sent for each and every one of us to be delivered from sin, to be delivered. Deliver us, you've called for the first time to be with you and to be eternity, God, for your plan of creating a heavenly kingdom of many nations being realized and for us understanding how important we are in making it come to God, for you have called our souls to be, and I thank you for how you brought all of our works with us into those works that you've placed within us, and we can realize our faith. We thank you for Christ and all that he's accomplished us to be. God, Father, allow us to be your tabernacle. Allow us to be your church. Father, thank you for you allowing us to see how important we are to you so that we can truly present you in the earth. God, thank you for this. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen. You can listen to the song of praise of Jason.
Shifting the atmosphere.
Whenever things don't feel like you think they should, don't get mad. Don't cuss nobody out. Don't hang up the phone. Worship. If you could just get you out of the way enough to lift your hands and say, God, I need you right here. You'll be shifting the atmosphere. Cried myself to sleep. Don't know where my son is. He's been gone for 3 days. I may call the police. Yeah. But before I do, I'm going to lift my hands. Because in my worship, they'll find him alive and well. And you'll be shifting the atmosphere. Pain in my body. Doctors don't know what it is. And they tell me just take this medication and that gives me another problem. And they say to take this, that, and that gives me another problem. But the next time I go to the doctor, before I walk in the room, I lift my hands. And I'll be shifting the atmosphere. Breakthrough and healing. Our worship is shifting. Shifting. Shifting.
Welcome back to Spirit Alive Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight, we're going to be discussing finding the will of God through prayer. But before we do that, I would like to send a special shout out to the Apostle of the House, Apostle Sherlene Cook, and thank her for being with us this evening. I am going to start by telling you that finding the will of God through prayer starts with identifying who you are in Christ as a child of God and understanding that that is a spiritual relationship for a spiritual being to another spiritual being. As a child of God, are a spirit first, because God is spirit. As his child, when you pray to God, you want to pray out of your spirit. And so when we talk about praying in the spirit, we're actually speaking about speaking in your heavenly prayer language, speaking in tongues. And we know that the benefits of speaking in tongues is that it edifies you, it builds you up. Speaking in tongues allows you to speak divine secrets to God. Speaking in tongues allows you to speak the wonderful works of God. Speaking in tongues allows you to magnify God. Speaking in tongues in your heavenly prayer language allows you to pray perfectly. Even though you don't understand what you're saying, it is perfect prayer because it is coming from God, coming through you, and going back to God, meaning that it's absolutely accepted by God because it comes from God, but it needs to go through you in order to be perfected. Speaking in tongues allows you to give thanks well. You won't miss anything when you pray in your prayer, heavenly prayer language. Speaking in tongues allows you to have the Spirit bear witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. And this is important because we don't want to go through life thinking that we might be saved and that we may be going to heaven possibly. When you speak in tongues, it is confirmation between the Holy Spirit and your spirit that you are a child of God. And that ability to go before the throne of God at any time and speak with your Heavenly Father, because he is your Father and you are his child. And speaking in tongues allows you also to know that you are joint heir with Christ. And that's important because if Christ inherited all power in heaven and earth and under the earth, and we are joint heir with Christ, we inherited what he inherited. And this kingdom is important. And see, if Jesus Christ is the head of the body and we're the rest of the body, then what he walks into, we walk into. But speaking in tongues allows us to strengthen our inner man with might. And that's the same thing as edifying you. That's the same thing as building your inner man up, your Holy Spirit, preparing yourself for whatever the next assignment that God has for you is. And that is you receiving instruction and direction and making yourself available. One of the things I've been thinking about lately is how when a king has his court and people have the blessing and favor of being perfect, then they all of the benefits of the king's court, yours. Whatever the king is eating, you're eating. Whatever the king is listening to, you're listening to. Whoever is performing for the king is performing for you. But the other side of that is that when you're in the king's court, if the king gives you an assignment, no matter what's going on, you do whatever the king gives you to do, right? Well, when you're speaking in tongues, you're basically showing up in the king's court. You're in that place of favor. You are participating in all of the great things of God. And at the same time, when God has an assignment for you, because you're speaking with him in your heavenly prayer language, you're authorizing him to direct you into whatever assignment he has for you at that moment. And that's a good thing. That's a great thing. And that's why we want to strengthen our inner man with might by speaking in tongues, speaking in our heavenly prayer language, speaking into unbelievers. And that's important because they see that our relationship with God is spiritual. It is something else. It is something that is available to them, and it is something that is to be desired. Lastly, one of the things that speaking in tongues is it's a rest to the soul. And it's one of those things that if you understand how valuable your soul is and how easy it is for the devil to get into places of strife and frustration, it is essential for us to maintain our soul in a place of peace. And one of the ways that we do that is by speaking in our heavenly prayer language and receiving that rest to the soul that the word says is available to us. I want to start tonight's teaching, though, in the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 24. And this is Jesus Christ. He's speaking with a Samaritan woman, and he tells her, he says, and this is Jesus Christ speaking, he says, "But a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth." And this is an important truth. And that was actually the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. And the important part here is where it says God is spirit and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so when I am suggesting to you that we want to desire to speak in our heavenly prayer language at all times, as often as possible, to ourselves, in our car out loud, in our prayer closet, in our special office, in our room, wherever we are, right? To be able to speak to our Heavenly Father in our heavenly prayer language and know that we are in the court of the King. That is a place of favor. And when we understand that the Father is seeking such to worship him in spirit and in truth, that is God's desire. And if that's what God's looking for, I certainly want to make what God wants available for God so that I can please him. And that is a benefit. But now, as it pertains to this idea of finding the will of God through prayer, I'm going to get a little more practical in that we're going to begin to speak about how we are praying according to our understanding, because we're not only to pray in the spirit in our heavenly prayer language, we're to pray with our understanding. We're not only to sing in our native tongue, but we are to sing in our heavenly prayer language as well. And I'll tell you personally, this is an area that for me is relatively new. Only the past couple of years or so has God had me in a place where he has been giving me melodies and songs that go with the tongues that I'm speaking. And they are, you know, that's purely between God and I. It's something that we do that I hear. It's fascinating because if God can give you a language to speak that you don't know, then God can give you melodies and songs that you don't know as well to speak in those languages, and he does. And so it tells us in Corinthians that we are to pray with our understanding. We are to pray in the spirit also. It tells us that we are to sing with our understanding, and we are to sing in the Spirit also. And so for these past couple of years, for me, I really enjoyed walking into this new level for me of speaking or singing in tongues, singing in my heavenly prayer language, receiving melodies and tunes and that I ever to go with these words that I don't understand. And it's a very private, personal thing between God and I. And it has given me a degree of joy. And it's something that we should all believe to receive from God so that we can understand that our relationship with God is a pleasant, it's a joyful thing. And we want to be in the presence of our Heavenly Father. And so many people think that they only come to God when things get really hard or when things are really bad. But there are times when things are perfect and God also, God wants to hear the joy in the Spirit. God wants to hear the singing in the Spirit. And when we are doing this, but now I want to get a little more practical because many of us have needs, very real needs. And it's God's desire for us to live a more than abundant life, mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, financially. And I did not say that in the correct order because first you have to live a more than abundant life spiritually before you can live a more than abundant life mentally. After you have studied the word and renewed your mind to the word, you can live a more than abundant life mentally, and that is going to prepare you to live a more than abundant life emotionally. And after you live a more than abundant life emotionally by receiving God's peace and praying and fasting and fellowshipping with like-minded believers, then you're going to learn to believe to live a more than abundant life physically. And you're going to receive that payment for your physical wholeness, which was embodied in the beatings that Jesus Christ took for your physical wholeness. And you're going to walk into the fullness of what that means. And lastly, you're going to receive that financial wholeness, which is really the resources that you need to do whatever God gives you to do. So if God has an assignment for you that is on the other side of the world, then it's God's responsibility to get you the resources to get to the other side of the world to do what he's given you to do. And if your assignment is right here, whatever resources are required for your assignment right here, God must provide. And you have to believe to walk into that. And so as you do, more than abundant life, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, and financially is available to you. I'm going to start tonight's teaching about finding the will of God through prayer in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 5. And it says in James chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and he upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. And this is fascinating because we know there are two types of wisdom. There's worldly wisdom and there's godly wisdom. And we know that in Proverbs it says the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. So when we understand that it is not for us to fear what any man can do, it is not for us to fear any consequences, it is not for us to fear anything except not pleasing God properly, fear not serving God properly, fear not trusting God properly, and fear not obeying God properly. If you be afraid of something, be afraid of that. The rewards are tied to that. Your peace is tied to that. Your blessings are tied to that. Your more than abundant life is tied to you pleasing God, serving God, trusting God, and obeying God. So if you want to be afraid of something, fear God. That's the beginning of wisdom. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. And really, it is understood as reverence, but I don't want to belittle it, because reverencing God and understanding the magnitude of who God is, the creator of the heavens and the earth. And some verses describe God as terrible, meaning that the most severe thing, the most extreme thing, he's responsible for, because he created good and evil. He created all of this. And you have to bow down and respect God's sovereignty by understanding that God is. He is to be feared. He is to be reverenced. He is to be acknowledged for being who he is, which is the pinnacle of all. Look at what it says here in Psalm 32:8. It says, I will instruct thee, teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. This is God directing you and saying, I'm going to teach you. I'm going to instruct you. I'm going to show you the way to go, and I'll guide you with mine eye. And, you know, this connects to that previous verse where it talks about those who lack wisdom simply asking of God, and God grant wisdom to you. I remember how Solomon asked for, he was, God said, what would you pray for? What would you have? And Solomon prayed for wisdom to lead God's people effectively. And God said, because you've asked this thing and not riches and not long life, all of this other stuff, I'm going to give you wisdom that you asked for to lead people. And I'm going to give you all the stuff you didn't ask for. That is the name Heavenly Father. And when you know that his desire is for you to be blessed, for you to have what he has available for you, then you can stand on the promise of this verse in Psalm 32:8, that God basically telling his people, I will instruct thee, I will teach thee in the way that thou shalt go, I will guide thee with mine eye. And see, in order to be guided by someone's eye, to be guided by God's eye, I have to be looking at God's face, not just God's hand. And what do you mean by his eye? Well, God's hand
speaks. Bishop, your mic cut out. Thank you.